Well, here we are, episode number 300. I know, we're as shocked as you are. I turned it around and let some people who've been there since the beginning fire some questions about me. We talked about origins of the show, where we are now, and what's coming up. Sky Donovan, my former professor and advisor in PT school turned close friend. She's up in the first segment, and my former classmate turned girlfriend, Liz Carrion, is up in segment number two. Grab a beer and take a listen. Can't thank you guys enough for being here with us for the previous 299 episodes. More than a million downloads. Rate us on iTunes or Google Play and keep up the good work sharing us on social media. That's the only way the rest of the world knows about us. That's your first pour, brought to you by another company that's been there since the beginning, Owens Recovery Science, a single source for PTs seeking certification in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training, plus the equipment you need to apply it. Find out more from them at owensrecoveryscience.com. Because there are so many people that I've never even heard of right now who are going to, before episode 4 or 5 or 600, say something brilliant that's going to change the way someone else thinks, the way someone else gets treated, and that is enough for me.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
This is
the PT Pinecast.
May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist Jimmy McKay.
Well, it is my pleasure to be on the opposite side of the microphone tonight with Jimmy McKay as my guest here on PT Pinecast. Tonight we are celebrating the 300 episodes. That is amazing.
It's weird.
It's weird. I was looking up things with the number 300 today.
Just so you know. That's a twist. I like that. What do you got?
I was. So I was looking up some of my favorite TV shows, Seinfeld being one of them. Guess how many episodes Seinfeld made it?
Oh, I don't know. I'm bad at 350?
No, only 180. So you have almost doubled Seinfeld. Yes.
Wow, I would have never guessed that.
And just think about how it has stood the test of time. So I was like, PT Pinecast standing the test of time. So my other favorite show is The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah. What's the longest running show in TV history, right?
It is, since 1989. I was my trivia today. So still only 700 episodes. So you're right up there.
Yeah, we'll hit 700 eventually.
Absolutely. Maybe. I wanted to, talk to you about this momentous occasion, and it's graduate week, so I thought you would have some really great things to say, seeing as how you've been a graduate for 2 years. It popped up on my Facebook feed today, picture of you in your floppy hat.
Yeah, it was pretty, it's cool seeing all the graduates kind of do their thing. I was actually just at a graduation yesterday, and it kind of, brought back some memories.
What'd you think of the graduation speaker?
The graduation speaker at this thing.
I ask because you talk to people for a living, so I would think that you would be a very critical consumer of graduation speeches.
I thought it was okay. I'll be honest, it was a little long because I watched the audience, and I watched the audience kind of hang for 5 to 10, and then they kind of faded out. And the fact that I had to actually turn around and look at my girlfriend and say, "What was the graduation speaker yesterday?" Probably not memorable.
Everyone right now is trying to geolocate you to figure out what speech you were.
I'm not going to say what school is because I don't want to throw that guy under the bus.
Good.
Let's put it this way. I still remember what the hook was for my high school graduation, and that was 1997.
Ooh, revealing your age on the 300th episode.
The hook was, you are who you are because of the people you surround yourself with.
It's a good hook.
And I was like, yeah. And I was looking around at all my friends in the audience, and they're complete goofballs. But yeah, I was. I was the person, and still am, because of the person that I surrounded myself in middle and high school, and made it a point to surround myself with those guys and girls, well after that. So that was memorable for me. And then my college keynote speaker was a guy by the name of Tim Russert, and he used to host Hardball. Unfortunately, passed away a couple years later. But I can't remember a quote that he said, but he was fired up and essentially go out and make your mark on the world. He's like, you're starting from here. Go make your mark on the world. Don't listen to what anybody says. You can do it. That's what I remembered about Tim Russert and what he said at my graduation.
Now you're getting all deep, and I want to start asking you all these questions, not based on any of the questions I thought I was going to ask you.
All right.
So, this is hard being you.
It's not that hard being me. It's really not.
So I like how you said you become influenced by the people that you surround yourself with. So who, because you are a creative, who do you need to surround yourself with to keep those creative juices flowing?
I think I need people who are opposite of me.
to keep me from spiraling into...
To save you from yourself.
Yeah, like from spiraling into like having all these ideas but never doing any of them, because I can do that. Like if you hang out with me for more than 10 minutes, you'll realize that I love connecting things, right? I mean, that's what I've said this before on the show, is that that's all I did, very, very simply, is I connected two things that, you know, shouldn't normally be connected, which is PT and radio or communications or spoken word. Who is this, like a existential who, or
yes, an actual who? Existential who, not an actual who.
I think I need a little bit of mix of everything. People who are similar and different. I mean, I really do like talking to people, and I think I get a lot out of it, no matter who they are, whether they're in PT or not. I mean, I get in trouble all the time for like starting conversations with my Uber driver. For some reason, I get like super excited when the person's like mildly interesting. I had a conversation with a guy because I was riding back from LaGuardia Airport, and the Uber driver from back from the airport was listening to an audiobook about like finance or something. It was kind of like, wasn't really my thing, but it was actually kind of interesting because I'm just in the back kind of zoned out, but it was interesting enough to listen to. And by the time we parked, he hung out for like 10 more minutes and he was talking to me. He was asking me like, what do you listen to? And I was firing all these podcasts at him and books, you know, books on Audible and stuff like that. And then like 10 podcasts and books later, I was like, screw it, I'll throw my own in there. And then we had a 15-minute conversation about like how weird my background was, which it is, but this guy had, he was not in PT, obviously. Mm-hmm. He wanted to be in finance. So I really do just like kind of like get excited about talking. And as you can see now, I don't even remember the question, but I'm still going talking about the Uber driver. I guess I try to surround myself with people who are really, really similar to me and people who are really, really different, and I get just as much from both.
Which is great, you know, and I think that's really applicable. You know, you bring up your own background having this podcast, but it's really applicable for what we call, you know, you and I are standing on, you know, the shoulders of giants, of the PTs that are in the trenches every single day treating patients. I mean, that's why you and I do what we do.
Yeah.
And they have to come up with different conversations every day.
Every 30 minutes.
People that they might not entirely be enthralled with, or they may find it difficult to engage with either this age dynamic or someone who, you know, has a sort of different background than they do, or just somebody that, you know, they're sort of unfamiliar with.
And,
or an introvert.
and keep focused on what you're trying to get out of the patient.
Correct.
At the exact same time.
Right, which is hard, you know. It's really funny because we've had a few students in the past couple of years who have said, right before they go out, right, because we meet with them before they go off into the world as new grads, and they've said, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. Like, I can't keep asking about the weather.
Yeah,
it makes me laugh.
I always used to joke like that Monday through Wednesday, you ask, how was your weekend? And then like past lunch on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you ask, what are you doing this weekend? That was like the go-to to ask like your patients to keep the conversation flowing.
But it's, I mean, that's one of the great things about our job, is that we do get to engage with these people on a different level. And it's more than just this 5-minute, very clinical relationship that we have with them.
That's a big advantage anyway, or a big opportunity. If you wanted to do like a SWOT analysis of our profession, is like we get that time with them. But yeah, it can be hard.
Yeah. All right. So I've been following you literally and figuratively. You have been doing a lot of different stuff this year.
Yep.
So you're working at Fox.
Yep. Fox Rehab.
But I've seen you like everywhere. So you've been CSM, Federal Advocacy Forum.
Yep.
College tours, exhibit halls. Oxford debate, and I hear there's a white coat ceremony coming up soon.
There is a white, we're going to Medical University of South Carolina.
Talk to me about, what was your favorite venue, and do you like, not like what school or anything like that, like you have always been a behind the microphone man, and now you're out in your orange suit, like
right, center.
How has that transition gone?
I think, well, first of all, the live show started at Marymount University when we kind of talked, and I was like, you know, it'd be cool to do it with an audience.
Shameless plug.
But that's kind of where it started. And then we released that episode and we got a couple other schools that said, hey, come do it. So the school thing adds a different dynamic because we can bring in anywhere from 10 to 120 students, I think was the largest one we had. And you get a different dynamic of, number one, being in front of an audience is always really cool. Then you get to see the students seeing their professors or their CIs in like a way that they never have. And I think a lot of light bulbs moments come on. And then when we do live shows, I flip that classroom around and I let the students, I say, you can ask any question you want, and I'm going to make your professors answer it. So that's kind of cool. The conference thing is always fun because there's so much energy. A CSM, a NEXT, a National Student Biden Conclave, a federal advocacy forum, Graham Sessions, AAMT. They're all very, very, very different. They all have their own vibe. So if you're looking for people who are like-minded, or even better, people who are of opposite mind of you.
Well, you did an Oxford debate.
Well, the Oxford debate at Duke. That was scary, and I did not like it. Because everyone was all nice and friends before we got started, and then literally we began, and everyone was like, I'm just used to everyone like being on the show and being fun, and it was all in good fun. The people on the other side of the Oxford debate were, it was good fun, but it was scary because they got mean, and I'm like, I just want to have a beer and a good time. Yeah, but so that was definitely different. So I said next time I would love to host that Oxford debate. Corey Simon from Duke and I decided that we liked the vibe, but we want to host it instead of being a debater. I'm not really much of a debater. I don't win many arguments.
You know, you can dethrone Chuck Saccone, you know, from your mouth to the next planning committee's ear.
Nobody can dethrone Chuck Saccone. That guy has the best dry delivery, never wavers. Well, I watch him like 90% of the time during the Oxford debate. He's awesome.
Well, so for me, it's so funny to see, because I try to bring as many first-year students as I can to the meeting, and I teach pathophys and it has a pharmacology component to it,
right?
And they use the Saccone book, and it's an excellent book. It's the only one really that anyone in PT schools use. It's scientific, so it's just a little dry, and I love science, so I can say that with love. My students go from reading that and then they see Chuck Saccone on stage and they're like, that is the same guy that wrote that book. I'm like, yeah,
because he's got wit, and he can and he jabs. But like, the cool part, I think, like what makes like a good moderator or a host is saying or asking what the audience is thinking or wanting you to say, and then being quiet and then letting the other people talk. And he does that so well.
Absolutely. I mean, we have way too many people in different sorts of hosting responsibilities, you know, everywhere. They just want to hear themselves talk.
And like, listen, and again, I mean, I love to talk, obviously, but the most fun for me is I should start transcribing my episodes or whatever. And when I edit them, you can kind of see like the waveform, you know what I'm talking about? Like the visual representation of sound. And you look at my waveform and the guest's waveform, and I am all over the beginning. Like, I just kind of like talk and talk and talk. But then you see like the switch, and that's when I get to like listen, kind of digest, and then jab. What do you mean by that? That's the fun part for me, is when I can actually be quiet and be part of the audience for a show. And that's honestly what I hope the audience gets out of it, is when I'm getting the guests kind of warm, and then I can step out, because no one's there to listen to me. They're there to listen to Sharon Dunn or Emma Stokes or Steve George or whoever. Like, that's the goal.
Just like a clinician, the goal is to listen to your patient, right?
Right. I mean,
it's all coming full circle.
Yeah.
So diverting from the different things that you did this year, I need to hear the craziest thing that happened. Could be a fan story, because, you know, now you're out in the public. So, and I saw people following you around in the orange suit. So
that's a little weird. Yeah. You know, but probably the most oops moment was Steve George was gonna come on the show. I was recording the episode. I recorded a laptop, my microphone on top of my dresser. I was still in my apartment from PT school, and I was getting ready, and Steve was about to pick up the other end of a line, and I had carried the beer from the refrigerator, and I ran up the stairs, and I got everything set, put my headphones on, ready to go, and then Steve's came on. I could see his face because we were using Skype, and I opened the beer. Now, I had just finished a giant full load of laundry, and I had like the middle drawer pulled out, just filled with like clean t-shirts, and because I had ran and obviously shook the beer foamed all over the place and was pouring directly into a drawer full of clean laundry. Steve George is there, and he can see my face, so I'm trying to like grab a towel without like making my face kind of contorted, like, oh, I'm pouring beer into my laundry. And the entire time I'm thinking, he thinks I'm a moron, I'm a complete spaz. I never mentioned it. I should have just like come clean and be like, oh dude, I just poured it a complete beer drink, but I just kept going. So that was probably like the moment I really wish I could erase.
Ah, it gives you character.
Yeah.
It's great.
We'll say that.
So
we'll call it that.
On that note, you have a lot of different ideas that you're sort of like putting into play this year. Where do you do your best thinking? Like, how do you sharpen the axe?
How do I sharpen the axe? The sharpen the axe versus chop the wood analogy. Where do I come up with most of my ideas? Taking a run is one of them. Like going for a run or something like that, because you can kind of tune it out. Last two go-to places to have ideas was Northside Social. That was in Arlington. That was a coffee shop. And that was a coffee shop around the corner from my house. And I literally go there because if I work, because I, since I work from home mostly, or unless I'm traveling, I need to be around things that are at least stimulating, but like not people that are there to have a conversation with me. And people are not at a coffee shop to have a conversation with me by any means. I'll be at the coffee shop for 3 hours and I'll get 3 hours of work done. Whereas if I'm anywhere else, I get like 45 minutes of work done. So I need to go like where I'm surrounded with people, but there's no reason for me to talk with them. And I just put headphones in and I can kind of zone out. So that's kind of where I get my actual work done.
I ask you that mostly, well, because I'm sure the listeners are interested. A lot of your listeners are students and new grads and just thinking about how they want to make their mark on the world, as you, you know, alluded to from your college graduation speech, you know, be able to think a little bit to get kind of out of the rat race. And also, like you mentioned, you know, surrounding yourself with people who inspire you or push you or both. That's another segue. So I also wanted to ask you, now that you've been out for 2 years, and this is probably going to make you feel weird and uncomfortable when I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Great.
You are a leader. I know that when you graduated from PT school, you had shared it with your listeners too, you know, that you felt like sort of like a fish out of water and you were kind of waiting for the shoe to drop of when you were going to start to feel comfortable. So since we have the timing of this is good because we have a lot of people graduating. What do you think your turning point was where you felt like you were a master of your craft and you had a lot to add to the equation and people should pay attention to you is not exactly the right word, but to say like, I'm not new anymore. I know what I'm talking about. You know, where did you sort of gain your confidence and how can we sort of describe that to when that moment is for new grads?
Yeah, that is a hard question. I don't know if I ever feel like I'm what you just said, like a master of anything. Like, you know,
don't go getting imposter syndrome, Bobby. Now, yeah, an article already came out about that by Cruz Romero.
I mean,
which was a great article, by the way. Thank you, Cruz.
Right. When did I? Yeah, I definitely felt like a fish out of water all the way through PT school. I think I'm still waiting for, I think you're always still waiting for. I mean, you talk to like, you know, a lot of these clinicians who are, you know, leaders in their, like Judy Cito. You know, she talks all the time how she's constantly learning. Like someone who like was Kobe's secret weapon and she is always sharpening the axe. So I think I started to get more comfortable probably only in the last year. I mean, I'm constantly kind of second guessing myself and where I fit. I definitely jumped with both feet into the whole communications PT thing. There's not many people who do that, right? So I didn't really have anybody to like ask, like, what would you do? Or what should I, you know, what would be some advice? Which I do
a
lot.
That's why you're the perfect person to sort of answer this question. And I know. Sort of fleshing it out as you're going, right? Because there's a lot of people out there who are, you know, craving this mentorship. Sometimes what you want to do, there isn't the perfect mentor for that. Or how do you figure out and wrestle in your own mind, like what I'm doing is right, even though I might not be getting the validation from someone else or from a larger body.
Oh, okay.
But I still know I'm on the right path, but you know.
I think the way you just put it made it easier for me to answer that question now, which is I find people who are in my corner. People talk all the time, like, you know, go out there and prove everybody who doesn't think you can do it wrong. It's easier for me to find someone who believes in me or is in my corner, and I try to prove them right. I try to find a W anywhere I can, like just a win anywhere I can. Because when I first started, I mean, my job's at Fox, I literally wrote Tim Fox and Robin Kiar a job in, a description on us, and I was like, listen, these are all the things I'm really good at. Do you need me? I pretty much never really got 100% confident, I think. They at least had enough faith in me to say, go do all the things you just said that are important to you because we think they're important to us. Just focus on people who constantly kind of reinforce. Like number one, like it sounds so cliche, but like my mom, I literally could do anything and my mom would be like, that's great. Keep doing that. Like on one hand, I'm like, well, it doesn't matter what I do because my mom's always just going to be like, that's great. Do it. Keep doing that. But at the same time, like you need that. Like, right.
Yes,
like
you need those people in your life.
Like it's so cliche because I know she's literally going to like anything I do. Like I always tell people, like my podcast is heard by 99.99% physical therapists, the 0.001 my mom. Like she listens to it. She's not in healthcare, she's not in physical therapy. She has no idea most of the time what I'm talking about, but she's always,
but
like that was really good
and right to hear your voice.
And so that shouldn't matter because I'm like, well, she loves me no matter what. except it does matter. You know, it does. Like, having that, like, is a big deal. So, like, you know, you seek those relationships out with friends, with people in and out of the profession. And literally hear, like, getting an email from someone who got something out of one random episode that you did, recording it on a Tuesday at 9 o'clock at night. That's a big deal. Like, one line. Hey, heard your episode with blah, blah, blah. I really enjoyed it. Thank you. That's not necessarily why I do it, but that's a definite fuel. You know, someone was like, hey, I really appreciate what you do. Like, when I say thank you very much for the kind words, I really do mean thank you very much, because it does. It means a lot.
You know, and it's interesting because you have a position where you're pushing the envelope all the time. And that is very true in our field, because physical therapy still has a lot of room for growth and potential. So, you know, the change agents and the leaders, there's a lot of failure that happens in there. I crave more people talking about their failures. And I think what you say is really important, because you do have to have those little points in your life or things that you can go back and read if you're having, like, you know, a week where things are really challenging and you're fighting an uphill battle the whole entire way, right? Because anything that's worth doing is really hard. But to have those moments where you can sort of have a little talking to with yourself and saying, like, okay, there is a reason why I'm doing all of this. Because if you just focus on the negative, which you can, it
really
becomes
easy.
Really daunting. Yeah.
Yeah, really easy to do that. And you can, you know, you can get into a spiral that you'll never get out of. Yeah, find those people you connect with who are in your corner and run with it.
I forgot to ask you the easiest question.
Oh, what's the easiest question?
What are you drinking?
Oh, I'm having a Stella right now. And I'll tell you why. And I am not ashamed at all. I saw a really great talk with Matt Damon, and I forget the name of the guy he's partnered with at water.org. They're doing amazing things in terms of not raising money for people to get water. They're doing a thing called microfinancing, which if I understand a term in finance, it must be really simple to understand, but it's just it's very forward thinking. Instead of just giving people the money or raising money and connecting them to a clean water source, what they're doing is they're going to people who are paying like something like $60 a month for clean water, and they're saying, hey, we're gonna give you a loan for $120, which is a lot of money for those people, but it's definitely better than paying $60 a month. They're like, we're gonna give you a loan for $120 a month, we're gonna connect you with clean water, but you have to pay us back like $7 a month. And where that $7 will go, it's going to pay for the loan for your neighbor. So it's literally like a pay it forward microfinancing thing. And literally I just listened to this thing, and it's Matt Damon, I mean, it's Jason Bourne, it's Good Will Hunting, super solid guy. And I was like, this is a really great idea, because he's like, listen, there's never going to be enough charity ever in the world to accomplish everything. So if you build something that is sustainable, right? And we try to do that all the time in healthcare, like build a sustainable clinic. And I just thought it was a really innovative idea, especially for something as simple as, and he had the statistics, I don't have them in front of me, of how many people do not have access to clean water. So he's got to deal with Stella, where they do a portion of the proceeds and help him, you know, they kind of partner with him. So I was literally in the supermarket tonight, and I was like, what do I drink? And I was going to pick a different beer, and I was like, you know what? Water for everybody. So I'm drinking a beer, so somebody somewhere else can have some water. Plus, I'm drinking a beer, so that's even better.
Jimmy McKay, heart of gold. Drinking Stella for the cause. You know, you got to do it.
What about you? What are you drinking?
I am having a Sauvignon Blanc.
We don't discriminate on the show.
Yes. I was out of beer. It's a white wine kind of day, and it was in the refrigerator. So being in that, it was 95 degrees. That was my choice this evening. So what is something that you want to accomplish in the year ahead?
Ooh, I literally was thinking about what will Sky Donovan ask me, and that I have not an answer prepared, but I thought about that.
Well, it doesn't have to be Pinecast related.
It is and it isn't. I am focused on the WCPT, and that's in a year and a half or something like that. And that's in Switzerland. That's the World Confederation of Physical Therapy. I'm trying to, and I've mentioned this to you before, just never on the show, because it's kind of a bold prediction, because what if I say it and I don't do it, if I don't make it there? I want to go there and I want to cover that event, because I think the world, not just American physical therapists, I think the world needs to know what goes on there. Because what does Sharon Dunn say? What's her hashtag now? Is better together. And that's exactly what the WCPT is. And again, that's the World Confederation of Physical Therapy. Every other year, they have a congress, a UN of sorts, coming together. For the first time ever, the APTA sent some people there to kind of do some Facebook Lives and cover it. And it was great. And I think that's the direction that we should be going. We need to share those things, right? We have social media. We need to leverage that media medium, right? Because that's what media is. It's a medium. Lots of mediums. You have blog, you have podcast, video, all that stuff. Leverage that medium to make our profession more social. I think that's where you start doing it. Personally, I got to go to WCPT. I would tell, my goal would be tell the story of everybody else. I'm not going to be an American going to Switzerland and meeting, there's like, I don't know, 100 and something member organizations, other countries, their versions of the APTA. There's no way I'm going to go there and tell our story or my story. I think my goal would be go there and listen. Let's share what everybody else knows with our profession, which is a global profession. That's what Emma Stokes says. It's what Sharon Dunn says. We're a global profession. Let's act like it. You know, how are we connecting? What's our social media? What mediums can we use to make our profession actually connected? I mean, right now we're the most connected generation ever, right? With all the things that we're using right now. You're in Arlington, Virginia. I'm in New York City. Right now we're talking over laptops in real time and recording this, and then it'll go out to people and it'll be heard by a couple thousand, you know, PTs across the country, across the world. We need to leverage that. That's where I want to go. That's my next BHAG, as I learned that phrase from your husband Brian Donovan, my big hairy audacious goal, BHAG. I think everybody should have a BHAG if you're reaching for it. I haven't said it before because, man, what if I fail? But what if I don't?
That's okay. But you won't. So yeah, yeah. I think probably right now somebody's going to be calling you as soon as this podcast goes up. I think you're absolutely right. I consider myself to be a fairly connected person. And I know that we had an American physical therapist who was the president of the WCPT not too long ago, Marilyn Moffitt.
Marilyn Moffitt, yep.
And WCPT was in Vancouver. I have never been either. And I don't know if it's my own personal journey or if it's just the people that I surround myself with. I cannot believe that I have never gone before, because I really think there is so much to gain from that. Also, fun little tidbit, our really good friend Cookie, episode one, just helped a university in the Republic of Georgia just got their WCPT status.
Wow.
So,
kudos to Cookie.
Coming full circle. I think we pay a lot of lip service to global education, sustainability, and until we have these conversations and hear from leaders from their own perspectives, right? You know, the worst thing that we can do, and you had a very eloquent conversation back when I interviewed you previously, when you came back from Costa Rica, about being very mindful of not going in and putting our, you know, privileged ideas into, we think you need this.
Right.
As a culture, as a community, where it's like, no, immerse yourself in the culture and listen and let them reveal to you what their needs are and how can you help them meet their own needs.
Listen.
It all comes back to listening.
Grandma, Gammy said you have 2 ears and 1 mouth. Use them proportionately.
Gammy, you know,
can't follow
that.
We gotta
get her on the show.
I know. She's been through PT. I'll get her on the show.
You know who else has amazing things to say about their family members? Sharon Dunn.
Oh yeah, she tells great stories about her family.
Yeah, you guys are rich in quotes from your family. I love that.
Can't top Sharon. She's got the quotes. She does.
2 ears and 1 mouth is a pretty good one, though. I like that.
It's a good one.
I like that a lot. So do you have any parting shots?
This is The Parting Shot.
The Parting Shot is brought to you by Fox Rehabilitation. Their mission, to rehabilitate lives by believing in the strength of people. They believe in their clients and their ability to achieve what they once thought impossible. Optimal function to rehabilitate their lives. Find out more at foxrehab.org.
Specific to new grads, in terms of keeping their fire in their bellies alive. Because they're leaving here, right? All shiny.
Right.
And then they're going to get out in the clinic and be like, I only have 2 weeks off.
Right.
I don't have spring break.
Well, we're going to release this episode like tomorrow, but I'm doing talk at Medical University of South Carolina, their keynote. So I'm going to save that one because I have a good one for them. I have a parting shot. So I'll do a different one for that. It would be kind of twofold. Number one, swing for the fences. Like, whatever you actually want to do, go do it. And it doesn't have to be something you can easily accomplish tomorrow. Short-term goal, long-term vision. What can I accomplish in the next 6 months, year, 2 years, that's going to get me to my long-term vision? Go do that, because you paid a lot in terms of time and effort and money. You sacrificed a couple years of your life to get this degree, to come into this awesome profession. Like, go do that actual thing. And then I guess my parting shot 2.0 part B would be, stay connected to people who are in your corner, people who are going to say, yeah, I understand right now you're not close to your long-term vision or your BHAG. You're not close to being done. But what can you do right now short-term to get you a little bit closer to that? And then do that. The road is long. Keep moving the ball forward, and you do that by staying connected to people you trust. In, out of the profession, doesn't matter. Find the people that are going to be in your corner. Stay connected to them.
They help you become your best self, right?
Yeah.
That's a great piece of advice. It almost sounds like strategic planning.
Strategery.
Yeah, but there is a lot to be said for taking a step back, figuring out where you've been and where you want to get to and what you're doing and how is that going to get you to where you want to go. And I like how you say swing for the fences too, because sometimes a really good opportunity comes about that may be a slight diversion from your long-term goal, but sometimes you never know what you're going to get out of things.
Yeah. Mark Cuban said, yeah, say yes, figure out how to do it later.
Oh, that's like the story of my life.
The Cubes. How are you going to beat Mark Cuban? You can't.
The Cubes. Is that his nickname? That's a rough one. A follow-up final question. Do you have a nickname? The listeners want to know.
Do I have a nickname?
I don't think so.
No. I mean, my friends always just call me by my last name.
Okay.
And that's what my radio name was. I don't know if I ever mentioned that. I just went by McKay because I couldn't think of a nickname or a good radio name. So I literally went by my last name.
McKay is a good one. So McKay's a good one. When you have your screaming fans yelling McKay at your white coat ceremony and in a week, you'll know why. Well, hey, always a pleasure talking
always
to you.
Always a pleasure. Good. Glad to grab a drink. Thank you for making this easier, different for me to be on this side of the mic.
You did fabulously.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
This is the PT Pinecast.
The show is brought to you by Aureus Medical Staffing. Quite simply, I could talk on and on about Aureus, and I do on the show because they've supported us from the start. But what Aureus does is they find you a job wherever you want to go. They've got placements, jobs for PTs in all 50 states. That's how many there are, right? 50? Right. 50 states in all settings. So where do you want to go? Check out where their jobs are. Talk to a recruiter. And again, want to make sure you know, this doesn't cost you, the PT, anything. All right? You just get to go do the thing you want to do. Treat patients where you want to do it and get paid for it. AureusMedical.com. That is where you can find them. Talk to a recruiter there. Benefits go with it. Go here, try this. Don't like the area? Go somewhere else. Short and long-term assignments. You can travel from position to position or take some time off in between. Listen, you put a lot of work into becoming a physical therapist. Do it on your terms now. Travel the country getting paid to be a PT. AureusMedical.com. All right, show today brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offering continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what they can do for you to support your professional development at brooksihl.org.
Let's give a nice, warm welcome to...
We're back. It's so great to see you. Let's get back to the show now. We're just going to make it a conversation.
Okay. You sound like you're radioing right now.
When was the last time I was on the radio?
Well, on the podcast thingy. So can I just ask you a question?
Yeah, go for it. What do you want to know? We have to introduce you to the audience. So just tell people who you are. This is Liz Kerrigan.
Stop it.
She's a former classmate of mine who now has made the poor decision of dating me. You said you wanted it to be real. Liz, not a big fan of podcasting, but you do listen to podcasts. You just don't like the recording process or speaking, which is actually an integral part of you being on the show now. So this is episode 300, and we just heard from our professor, Sky Donovan, and she came with notes.
Yeah, I don't have any notes, so we're just going to kind of wing it.
Good. That's kind of how that's the way I am. So why did we want to bring you on the show? This is episode 300. We just passed 1 million downloads, and I said I wanted to kind of recap because we made kind of not a big deal, but we kind of like celebrated 100 episodes, and we didn't really do much for 200. And now I just figured, I don't know, 300.
How come you didn't do anything for 200?
I don't know.
Wasn't that monumental?
It wasn't that monumental. But I think I saw this one coming because the downloads were creeping up and we were getting close to 1 million. And again, the numbers, I mean, it is kind of cool, right? I mean, I don't want to make a big deal about it, but I don't know. When we went to 7 digits, that was kind of cool, kind of validating.
Yeah.
People took their time to listen to me yammer.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it's listening to the guests that we have on, like Liz right now. We were in class together when I launched the podcast. second year students, when you found out that the classmate that you had who talks a lot launched a podcast, what was your initial thought? Say it. Just say it.
I didn't realize you launched a podcast.
38 classmates. And I bet you none of them really knew I launched a podcast.
Yes. Okay, so you've been there from the beginning, obviously. What's changed the most from then till now about the podcast, in your opinion?
That is a good question, because it's making me think.
That's the goal here.
So the episodes have definitely gotten shorter. I've learned a ton about the profession, about physical therapy, about all the different things we get into. But I've also learned that, even better, how to facilitate these conversations. I've seen so many similarities and differences. I don't know. It excites me about the profession, I guess, is all the similarities and differences.
Okay. So you said in the beginning you were very excited to just talk to any big name in PT.
Anybody.
Now you've talked to them a bunch, several times. Are you still just as excited when you bring them on the show?
Yes.
Why?
It's not just the big names, but anybody, especially when I make a connection, because I'm most of the time I'm either interviewing them either at a conference and I literally haven't seen them in a year or longer, or even if I'm interviewing them online, I've made friends. So yeah, long answer to a short question is I am still just as excited, if not more, to talk to someone now than I did before.
Okay, I'm glad you reiterated what the question was, because I forgot.
Tend to talk a lot.
Okay, what else? Do you feel like you learn a lot from this podcast, or do you sometimes wonder if you would learn more by actually treating patients?
Well, you're going to learn different things, a lot of different things. I mean, I definitely think the second part of your question is you learn so much from an interaction with another human being. You know, especially if they're under your care, you know, you're going to learn a lot. I would say just both, like just on very, very different ways. But I like the back and forth, and especially launching this as a student. I mean, half of my PT school career, I had this thing as a crutch, I guess, or a blankie. So I definitely learn a lot that way. When I'm going to get super specific, I guess.
Right. So I know I reach out to you for my own personal questions that I have within this profession, but do other people reach out to you as well and try to use your skills to figure out their own questions?
I literally was just answering a tweet from somebody from a different country, I think Canada. They were like, hey, what would be a good episode for me to give to my students before they graduated? And I was like, oh, hang on. I was like, hey, we had Emma Stokes, Sharon Dunn, and Sky Donovan on the show when we graduated in 2016, kind of do like an address to the students. The information is still just as relevant and just as good. So yeah, so people ask a lot. I need to figure out how to like make the episodes on the website like more searchable by like topic.
Yes.
But I'm not web savvy. So if there's someone out there who wants to do this for and help me, I will pay you in beer and pint glasses and koozies.
Okay. So let's see what else. What's the hardest thing about producing 300 episodes?
Oh, consistency. But it's consistency. I'm constantly asking, am I doing the same thing too much? I'm kind of wondering what the audience wants me to do next. And you pointed out, I don't know, 6 months ago, you're doing a lot of these live shows at colleges and you're getting a lot of professors' inputs. And you're like, I like some of it, but not all of it. And I'm like, oh, okay, I can see that. You're a new grad. You want to learn about super clinical specific stuff. So I need to like find that balance. Like the problem is I do this pretty much by myself. So like hearing from people, like I mentioned it during the first half of the show with Sky, hearing from people like what they want to get out of it, even if it's a tweet, helps me. That's hard about putting together 300 episodes, numbering them. I'm not real detail oriented, so sometimes it'll be like a couple weeks and I look back and I'm like, we skipped from 241 to 243. Crap, I gotta go change all those numbers, because that'll bother me. As much as I'm not detail oriented, I'm still like a little like OCD where I'm like, that can't be. I need all those numbers to go in order.
Well, I guess if that's one of the harder things about producing 300 episodes,
I mean, honestly, the hard parts are like organizing when to talk, like just logistics. You know, like people will be shocked and like, and it's nobody's fault. It's just everybody has a different schedule. Once we get that first 30 seconds of the show out of the way, it's having a conversation. That's where I'm having the most fun. I'm also producing 10 episodes a month for someone else now. I don't know if a lot of people know that.
I do.
You know that because I talk about it. So I work for a place called Fox Rehab. I launched 3 podcasts for them, and there's a fourth one coming. Did you know that? There's a fourth podcast coming from Fox. Oop, you didn't know that, did you?
Which one?
So we have Foxcast PT, Foxcast OT, Foxcast SLP, and now we're going to do Foxcast EP for our exercise physiologists.
No, you failed to mention that one.
Well, that's it's not launched yet, okay. So that's coming up. But I have lots of ideas about podcasts.
Okay, well, speaking of ideas, now after 300 episodes, do you see any new ideas for the future with your podcast? Any new turns you're going to be making with it? Any new directions you're trying to go to?
I kind of want to bring something back that I used to do, but it was hard because it's difficult to do by myself. Plus, I'd like to bring back the news.
Oh.
Remember I used to do the news?
Yeah.
We used to do Spinal Tap News?
Mm-hmm.
Because we just need some people who are passionate. I can show you how to produce the news. I just need people who are motivated and passionate. That's something I wouldn't mind bringing back. What do you like about the show? I can't help it. I got to interview.
You can't ask me the questions.
My show.
No.
Well, what do you like? Let's go global. Like, what do you get out of it, if anything? And if you don't, just make something up.
I guess now, being a treating therapist, I like hearing from a more realistic standpoint than just being a student and learning from a textbook and hypothetical situations, and hearing other PTs who've been in the profession for a while, or maybe not even that long, but have had all different types of experiences, explain their versions of treating a wide variety of patients. I think that that's just kind of helpful to hear. And now, being an actual treating therapist rather than a student, I find that to be the most beneficial thing and the biggest thing I probably get out of your podcast. Back to you. So I actually wrote one thing down that I wanted to ask you, because this one, hanging around you a little bit lately, I feel like the most people we interact with say the exact same thing. They question you being a PT,
oh, yeah,
and not actually treating patients,
right,
and don't really understand the non-conventional route that you've taken with your degree.
Right.
So after 300 episodes and being very successful with your podcast, do you feel more confident now when you respond to some skepticism about it, or do you feel like you're just floating around accidental, like on a breeze? Before you answer, you have to tell me where that quote's from.
Floating on a breeze?
Accidental, like on a breeze.
Forrest Gump?
About to get into a fight. Yes, thank you.
I am more confident now. So I'll just set it up for the audience. So I treated for about a year. I was in orthopedics and sports, and I was in pediatrics, a good mix of that. And then I decided that I really did like this whole communications plus PT equals question mark. That's the formula right now. And the question mark was like, what does that mean? And then I started, you know, not just with this podcast, but then Fox's podcast, but I do a lot of other things with Fox that I get to leverage my communications background. But like my dad, we'll get specific. My dad's like, I don't understand. You're a physical therapist, but you don't treat patients. So why
did
you?
That's the common question.
Why'd you bother going to school to be a PT? Because it wasn't true. Anybody can ask a first question. It's the second or third follow-up question that I'd need that degree and that insight to be able to know that that's a direction the conversation should go.
So do you feel more confident with it now?
Yes, more
after
confident.
After 300 episodes.
More confident, yes, but I still get
and more confident in yourself,
yes,
also.
More confident, not 100%.
Sure.
Sure. Because it is. Like, you know, but I asked this question. I forget where I was. I was with a bunch of students. They were looking at me like, well, how many patients do you treat? Because you're flying all over the country and you're doing this podcast. And I'm like, I don't. And I literally got this kind of like sideways lateral cervical flexion. And like, what do you mean? And then I just posed it as a question. Can you touch a patient without ever actually touching a patient? So if I facilitate a good conversation from a PT and then Liz listens to it on the show, she puts it into action and it really helped a patient. Did I facilitate touching? Did I touch that patient in some way? I would say yes. I would say that's what your professors do. If they're non-treating professors, they are in fact helping to touch patients in a different second degree, third degree kind of way. But you are facilitating those changes, positive changes, hopefully. It's still very hard though. But as you can tell, meandering on, because
yes,
I'm still not 100% confident.
So
it's hard to explain to people.
That was going to be my next question. Is it getting easier to explain,
mm-hmm,
and kind of just tell people exactly what you're doing? Or do you still feel like
it's not as fluid? But it's getting better, right? I mean,
right.
You've stood next to me when, mm-hmm, someone has been like, so what does he do?
Yeah. Both of us usually start with just
we kind of look at each other and
laugh.
Giggle. And I'm like, so
where are we going to start the answer to this one?
Right. I use these words infrequently, hate, love and hate. I love what I do.
I love it. So I got to ignore that. But that's hard, right? Just ignore that. But I need to do that more because it makes me happy. Like, I get out of bed Monday morning, very, very excited to do whatever weird stuff that I'm doing that day, which is different. You are equally excited on a Monday morning to go treat patients.
So speaking of that, loving what you do and always being excited to get out of bed and do what you love.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel burnt out?
Oh, yeah. 100%. I mean, I was a rock radio DJ, right? Mm-hmm. It was still a job, though. Like, you do anything enough and you can get burned out. Like, in the last couple months, I've been traveling a lot, been going to schools and conferences and flying all over the place for Fox. And it is awesome. But I think if you're doing something you love, you tend to pour your entire self into it. And then if you don't have someone to keep you grounded, you wind up doing it too much. Tank's on empty. Now, it's on empty for a good reason, by doing something that I love.
You talk about how much you love doing what you do, and I feel like a main topic right now for young PTs is that even if they may love it, just the demands and everything in PT, there are different reasons for why people are burning out.
Yes.
So I guess I'm more so asking what your reasons are in this different...
Then I would change my answer.
Okay.
Because I would say no. I say I get down to empty, where I just need to, I can recharge. Where I see as PT burnout is more severe because it's a grind, and you can, I mean, when you're treating how many patients a day, how many days in a row, and there's no time to recharge. I'm lucky enough to, I travel for 3 days in a row and I'm completely on empty, and then I'm like off and I just edit for a couple days, I get built back up.
Okay, I have to ask this because I feel like I ask you all the time and the answer may sometimes change, sometimes is consistent. What's the point of doing this podcast for you? I think I've asked you this for as long as I've known you've been doing the podcast.
Yeah. So what's the point? Is that exactly how you're going to phrase it? Or what's the...
Yeah, no, not the way I want to phrase it. What's the reason you want to keep doing this? Or what's the reason you started it? Is it different now than it was then?
It's definitely different now. Like, continuing to do is different. Why did I start it? I really was excited to talk to people, which shouldn't be a shock. And then I was like, hey, how do I share that? How do I facilitate it? Is it different now? I mean, I guess like I just defaulted to what's comfortable, right? We all do that. And interviewing people for me for 15 years was my default comfort thing. And I don't know if I've ever said this before, just like this, the entire time the audience is literally in my head. I'm thinking, are they getting enough out of this? Is there something else? What would they be yelling at their speaker like? How come you didn't ask this? Ask this? And I'm always trying to make sure I ask that. So that's what keeps me going. And I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Well, I like what you said before, and I think that was the first time you phrased it the way that you did, saying that you're not necessarily treating or touching patients, but a lot of what you do could still have the potential, and most likely does, touch different patients. So I definitely feel like it's a way of connecting the people within this profession. And it seems like it's all over the place a lot of the times.
Yeah.
But there's so many different roads and aspects to this profession. So I just feel like this is one main hub that people can come to and find something that pertains to them.
We had somebody ask me, maybe I was 30 or 40 episodes in, and I had interviewed some people who were pretty big names in this profession. And this person said, what are you going to do when you've interviewed all the interesting people in PT? And my response verbatim was, there's no possible way I could interview all the interesting people in PT in my entire lifetime. Because there are so many people that I've never even heard of right now who are going to, before episode 400 or 500 or 600, say something brilliant that's going to change the way someone else thinks, the way someone else gets treated, and that is enough for me.
Cool. All right. I think that's all I have.
You got to ask the last question.
What's the last question?
Always the same. Have you ever heard my podcast?
Yes. Oh, okay.
So it's brought to you by Arius.
It's still the same thing.
Hold on.
I hope.
I'm going to walk you through it. It's brought to you by Arius. I'm saying it now. AURIUSmedical.com. I'll say this about Arius. This is episode 300. They came in super early when I had a podcast, and they were like, we want to sponsor your show. And I was like, okay, what do you do? And they're like,
I was there when that happened.
You were there when I was having that conversation. They're like, we find PTs jobs. And I'm like, what's the catch? And they were like, catch is you get to pick where you go work anywhere and be a PT, and then you get paid for it. And I'm like, well, how much does it cost for someone that I know to do this? And they're like, it's free. Well, how about someone I don't know? It's free. So it's free for the PT. And I was like, well, I'm in. So it's AURIUSmedical.com. So I'm giving you a hint. The first question is, Arius has jobs in 50 states.
where would you want to go and travel and treat?
I'd probably want to go to, I've never really hung out in California. So San Diego, I've heard so much about. So that's question one.
I thought one of them was a book.
That's number two. Was something that you read recently that inspired you?
Aren't I supposed to be asking this?
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
You just asked yourself the question.
I've done that before.
Okay. What's something that you've read recently that inspired you?
Gary Vaynerchuk. He's the guy I always talk about on Instagram and stuff like that. He got a bunch of books, and I bought a bunch of his books. And I bought John Taffer's book. You and I both have a deep love for Bar Rescue. Mm-hmm. I read the first half of John Taffer's book, and I loved it.
Okay, well, I guess that kind of ties into the third question, although now we're referring to PT. Mm. I forget how you word this question exactly, but it's how do you put it?
Who's someone the audience should know more about?
Oh, okay. In PT, though?
Sometimes I change it. I just say whoever.
Does it have to be PT? Okay, no. Let's make it PT.
So Sharon Dunn gets so much notoriety. I think a lot of people know her. The other person at the APTA that people should pay attention to is Justin Moore.
That name sounds very familiar just because of you talking about him. But who is he again?
I do talk about him. Familiar. Justin Moore is the CEO.
Yes,
of the APTA. I'm excited as he's a PT who also has this weird kind of dual, you know, background in PT. And then he left to do advocacy. And he's like, he's the man. He's the man in the big chair at the APTA. So he's kind of the counterpart to Sharon Dunn. Justin, you know, literally is just getting his job going. You know, he's very, very, I hope, young at his job in terms of, I hope he sticks around for a long time.
Are we done?
What's the last thing we do on my show?
Cheers.
No.
Of course.
This is the parting shot.
What's your parting shot?
Find your why. Super lost in this profession, about to graduate. We go to Costa Rica, and I've told the story. It's been a couple episodes, and we meet G. Accidentally came across, working with him, or just meeting him, or being around him, raising the money for the wheelchair to help him. Said, "There's a place here for me." So find your why, and the rest will be easy. Well, it won't be easy, but it'll be easier. That's it. We're done.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jimmy McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast.
The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.
Hey guys, the Movement Maestro here, letting you know that Rock Tape is so much more than just a tape company. We are a movement company. Move stronger, longer with the world's best kinesiology tape, topical pain relief, mobility equipment, and protective gear. But that's not all. Learn from the best with our industry-leading continuing education courses. Want 20% off your first product purchase? Head on over to shop.rocktape.com and use the code PTPINECAST. Again, for the folks in the back, that's shop.rocktape.com and enter the code PTPINECAST. Rock Tape, the world's best kinesiology tape, the movement industry's new standard for education.
Our home on the internet.
PTPinecast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at BuildPT.com.